halacha about the menor, about the pareches. Every shul has a pareches. There's a lot of history, a lot of very interesting minhagim that relate to the pareches. Where does it all come from? This week's parsha. Parshas Truma is a parsha for the architects. All the chokhmah of construction can be found in this week's parsha, even though you'll tell me that the Mishkan would never get a, what's it called in New York City, to get a permit, a variance, or a certificate of occupancy. It's a fire hazard. It violates basically every code. and it's probably impossible. A lot of the things, if you try today to construct the Mishkan, based upon what it says in the Torah, it probably wouldn't stand. And the whole thing wouldn't stand, and it would not be considered in architectural schools to be a good plan for many, many reasons. And yet, the Torah is divine, and this, we have emunah pshuta, that the construction of the Mishkan is perfect. Not only is it perfect, it is a model and a paradigm for all construction. Chazal further say that the building of the Mishkan parallels the construction of the world. This world has also been constructed in a different dimension, in some very detailed, complex. What we even know, we probably don't even know even the mashu of the chokhmah, of the wisdom, the science that is involved in the way this world works and functions, is constructed. But Chazal say that the Mishkan is a parallel to the world, the building, the creation of the world. There are lamites melochis. Chazal say all the lava Shabbos, the lamites melochis that we refrain from on Shabbos, and those lamites melochis can be found in the Mishkan. So the obvious Chazal is saying is that the same way to build a Mishkan, 39 acts of creative labor were necessary. There were 39 acts of creative labor that Hashem engaged in to create this world. They talk about one big bang. No, there were 39 big bangs.
Little bit.
Okay, or however you want to say it, 39. The goyim, they're really off by 38. Well, there's only one big bang and everything just happened to fall into place. No, there were 39 big bangs. And all 39 big bangs, each one was a miracle in and of itself, was an act of creative labor. What is the Malach of Shabbos? Every Malach of Shabbos has, why is this called the Malach and that not called the Malach? There are many different things. You can go and you can argue, why is this one is called an av, one is called a tolda, why is this not called an act of labor? And the answer always is that Chazal made an assessment that this thing which they prohibited is an act of creativity. It's not just, you know, more of the same, moving things around and manipulating an object. Creativity. And in the creation, that means, powerfully said, there were 39 acts of creativity to create this world. The goyim they're not so sophisticated, the goyim. The goyim, they have apikorsis, not apikorsis, whatever you want to go say, they talk about how the world was created. They only talk about one act of creativity. I don't even know what they say. It's very, I really want to spend some time one day going through Alexander Hull's latest book. I'm such a big fan of Alexander Hull, you can't even imagine. Alexander Hull is a genius. In my haskama, he learned in Koilel. I think he's still learning in Koilel in Ponovich. Okay, he comes from England, and he learned in Koilel. He's a Koilel young man, and he has a mind like none other, mathematical mind. A lot of his insights are very, very mathematical, but he explains things very, very simple for the simple person. And he has a number of books. One about the first book that he wrote was The Missing 168 Years. There's a discrepancy between Jewish history and secular history of 168 years. He explains in an incredible way how to reconcile the discrepancy. He has the book that we spend a lot of time on the ancient pharaohs, exactly at which point in time in the timeline of Egyptian Egyptology did the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim occur, and he has incredible chidushim, incredible beautiful chidushim. And then he has a book trying, I never read this book yet, the book of where is the location of Har Sinai. Okay, I didn't read that book. And then Alexander Hull. His name is Alexander, his last name is Hull, H-O-O-L. And he has a new book about the creation of the world, about the Shivas, the 7 days of creation, reconciling, carbon dating with the age of the universe, carbon dating, and a whole host of ideas which he's masterly was able to take from Chazal and his fluency in science, and showing how in many of these things there is no contradiction whatsoever. If you understand science, understand what's really going on, and in the process he has incredible chidushim that really, really are challenging to hear a rebuttal, to hear a critique from the secular point of view. Okay, you have all the, you know, you have only on Amazon, you can go, you have libraries and libraries talking about science, the Big Bang, and the age of the universe. I want to hear someone read his book thoroughly from cover to cover and respond. And let's see what they have to say. Because he has some very, very interesting chidushim where he takes the common narrative of how the world came into existence, and he very cleverly deals with it using Maamari Chazal and a thorough understanding of the science, and says incredible chidushim which answer very, very age-old questions. Like basically, I think one of his yisoidos, which answers almost every question, you have to see what it says, is in one of the main theories of creation is the Big Bang, okay? The world is expanding. Okay, Rabbi, everybody ask, are you familiar with this? The world,
yes, expanding universe.
Is expanding. The world continues to expand. And they can prove this. There's proof to this. And according to secular, the best that I'm, when I read in his book, that according to the best I understand, amongst the Goyim today, they firmly believe that the world at this moment is continuing to expand. Is continuing to expand. Right. At this moment, the world is continuing to go further, further, further. So he says, the universe is in the process at this very moment that we speak about, this very moment that we speak about is continuing to expand. He says, and there's proof to this, and he acknowledges the proof, but he's basically, where he differs is, it came a point in time where Hashem, where the world was continuing to expand, and Hashem said, Shaka, it's Chazal, Sh'omar, Le'olamoy, Dai. And Hashem said, okay, I want the world now to stop.
Yeah, but the Gemara says that in reference to the beaches, for the water and the earth.
Okay, they're different. They're
I understand.
And the Goyim will never acknowledge that it stopped, because that's a contradiction to there being a creator. If there is a Big Bang, and it creates a force of creation and expansion, there's no God to tell it this. First of all, the whole thing that everything they say is out of course anyway. But it's hard enough for them to invent, oh, there is creation, and the world expands. But how could it happen that the world will stop expanding? How could it happen? Someone, an authority, has to come along and say to the world, stop. But if there is no God, it's not built into science that something can stop.
Lack of energy.
There's no. They don't. That doesn't make sense according to the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution is a little different. The theory of whatever. There are a lot of terms which I'm not fluent in.
Still expanding.
What? No. So he says it's not. And he says, by saying scientifically, the world was created in a state of expansion. That's absolute proof to this. And he agrees with a secular understanding of that concept 100%. But he differs, And he says, but let's say after a certain number, let's say in their terms, after a certain number, billions of years, the world stopped suddenly. They cannot accept that. He proves mathematically that if you do say that at some point in time that it stopped expanding out of nowhere, just suddenly it stopped, it answers almost all the mysteries mathematically that they don't have an answer to. So why don't they acknowledge that, right, the world started with an expansion?
It means that there was a beginning, and science doesn't agree with the concept of there was a beginning.
No, they do. They have no choice to accept the concept. Yeah, okay, whatever. I don't know what to that. You have to read the book. Maybe one day we'll talk about this. It's very, very, very fascinating. But the only reason why I got sidetracked was because the Mishkan that we learned about this week is a parallel to creation. Moshe Rabbeinu actually also told him stop. He told him also stop. He says,
Chal Moshe es
hamalacha. And he says,
Hoysadayam.
And he told them to stop. It was Shabbos. No one should bring more donations. He told them, stop. Ad kan. The same way the Ribbono Shel Olam said about creation, stop. Shakai. Sheomar. Le'olamai. Dai. Ad kan. Stop. The Goyim cannot accept that.
Right.
They cannot accept that. Because that means there's a creator. Someone will...
Exactly.
Not only stop, but
it's too much.
Why too much? The world, why too much?
It's yours. It says in the Chumash.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wait, all these things, we're saying mysteries.
So that's what it means.
Okay, whatever it means, these are all very mystical things. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's very interesting is to look at the parasha. When you look at the parasha, you're looking at creation. You're looking at creation in terms that you can relate to. The Mishkan is a microcosm of the universe. If in the Mishkan there were 39 acts of creative labor, that means when Hashem created this world, Chazal says Beferish, when Hashem created the world, there were 39 acts of creative labor. The Goyim don't deal with that. I don't think they deal with these concepts of how many different acts of creative labor. It's big enough, hard enough for them to accept there was a creation. You don't hear about creations. 39 separate acts of creative labor happening at the same time, and they how they all integrate with one another, and each act of creative labor is unique. That's quite a pill to swallow. And he goes further, Alexander Hull. But you have to also understand that in the Mishkan, there was, Moshe said, stop. Stop. Ad kan. There's a concept of stopping. That means that in creation, there was expansion. It was going, going, going. And then there was stop. How does it stop? Only a God can say stop. That's something they cannot accept. That is really, if you want to know where the point of difference between Apikorsen, it's not the creation. Creation is not really such a hot topic because whatever, creation is a creation. The world got here somewhere. Who created the world? So you want to say there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, or you want to say it just happened? Okay. You don't believe in the Ribbono, it just happened. How did it happen? Science. Okay, so science is God. So let science be your God. Excellent. That's also a Madrega. Science is your God. But wait a minute. How did it stop? How did creation stop?
Aristotle held that it always existed. There was no, it just always was.
It's way over my head. This is way, we're going over here. So over my head, you can't even imagine. How can you say it stopped? Science will never, ever, ever acknowledge that it stopped. That something which came into motion can stop. Because there's absolutely no plausible explanation how this force of creation can stop. It can't. So it's not, that's not stopped. It continues. Oh, but there are questions? Don't worry about the questions. We got far enough. Don't confuse it with the details. But if you're a religious person, then you have to acknowledge that Hashem said, Shakai. Moshe said in the parallel creation of is Vayichole Ha'amehavi Al Yetze Ish Mimikoimai Bayoim Hashvihi. Stop. That is something that is divine. To stop Shabbos? Shabbos basically is an acknowledgement. What is this? It's very, very, what Alexander Hull is saying is so deep. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is the Ikur Emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam. If a person is a Shomer Shabbos, everything is good. Oh, but he's not very religious. He doesn't keep kosher. This, it's a big problem. But a Shomer Shabbos is a Shomer Shabbos. A person is a Talmud Chacham par excellence and he's mahadur in every mitzvah. He's not a Shomer Shabbos. He's a garnished. He's not a maimon. Shabbos is the, and what is Shabbos? Stop. In the Berea, the Apikursin, acknowledge a start. Can't talk for everyone. I'm not familiar with this whole field, this whole discussion, but it appears from the little teeny mashu that I've read, is that amongst in the secular world, there is such a concept of acknowledging that there was a beginning. It was a beginning. How did the beginning happen? So if they're not my meaning, it happened. Somehow it happened. But they don't want to necessarily attribute it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there has to be a beginning at some point in time. But what about a stop? A stop to creation. So by the Goyim, it never, ever stopped. It's continuing. It has to be, and it's just so far away from us. It's trillions of light years away from us, so we can't see it expanding, but there's an emuna. They have a lot of emuna that it is expanding. It's going on and on and on and on. Who knows how far it's going? Alexander Hull suggests that's the point of difference between us and them. Is the emuna to prove that is the Ribbono and then we can relate to? Is Hashem said Shabbos. Shabbos vayinofash. Sha'omar le'olamoy die. How could that be? That goes against the whole science. Oh, that's right. You have to be a maimon. You have to be a maimon. In the parallel world of the Mishkan, the 39 acts of creative labor, there was also a stop. Ad kan. Vayikolei vayaviru kol b'machne. Moshe sent out a message in the machne. Stop. Vayaviru kol b'machne. Vayikolei ha'omei havi. This is symbolic. I'm sure it's even on a deeper level of ad kan. No more. Stop. Why? They brought more gold. They could have made thicker plating of gold. They could have made more sophisticated. There's so many details. There's so much going on. We don't. But in concept, there was a stop, and that is a very critical element of construction of the Binyan HaMishkan. And this is not what I wanted to get to. I want to really get to very quickly talk about now is the Paroiches. In the most sacred portion, it's always fascinated me, this part of the Mishkan, in the most sacred portion of the Mishkan, Parashas Truma, is the Paroiches. Okay, you build the Mishkan, and there's going to be a paroiches, and the paroiches is going to be mavdil. What are the exact words of the paroiches? V'yasisa paroiches, a curtain. Techeles v'argamon v'slashoni v'sheshmosha maasei choshev yaseh iso kuvim. It should be embroidered, very complex. How many threads? You look at the art scroll Mishkan. It's second to none how they show exactly how all the different colored threads and how they're woven together. It's kofel sheish. You have to just see the pictures. I can't even explain it. V'nasata oisa, and they had images on both sides which corresponded to each other. There are hooks, and then it concludes with this pasuk. It concludes v'nasata es haparoiches tachas hakerosim. You shall position the paroiches beneath the kerosim, the hooks. It doesn't even say that it should be attached to the hooks. It just says put it there, corresponding to the hooks. No, magically it's floating underneath the hooks. Then, after you put up the paroiches, then you bring in the aron, which doesn't make any sense either, because if you're putting up the paroiches is blocking the aron. First, you should bring in the aron, no? And then you hang up the curtain. Because if you hang up the curtain, then you can't get the aron in. If I go and I hang up a curtain and I fasten it on top and on the bottom, how do you get the aron in? You can't over the ceiling? Underneath? Over the roof? To the side? No. There's a roof. They already put the curtains on top.
They put the curtains
obviously.
There was an opening on top. That's how they came and fixed things inside.
That's the mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash. Two stories. This is the Mishkan. The Mishkan Yama.
Why did they put the Urias on top?
It seems they did it right away. It seems it says in the beginning of the parasha. All right, you have a lot of questions you can ask. There are so many questions you can ask. Everything over here is very mystical. It's spiritual. And here's the point I really want to make. The parochas, once the parochas is hanging, it will now separate for you, lochem. What do you mean for you? What's the word lochem? It'll separate, period. What do you mean for lochem? What do you mean for you? It's a structural reality. It's not for you. There's a door. The door separates the outside from the inside. It's not just for you. It's this is the reality. Even if we're not present, the door is there. Okay, so why does it say lochem? Our audience disappeared. There was sabotage. Welcome back, everyone. Okay, we are. V'vdil labros lochem bein hakodesh ubein kodesh hakodoshim, between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodoshim. So we all know the out. What was the inside? The inside the kodesh hakodoshim was only the aron hakodesh. It was a square. It was 10 amos by 10 amos. And on the other side in front of it was an area that was 30 by 10. Is that correct? 30 by 10? It was 30 by 10. And that's called the Kodesh. That's called the Kodesh. So there's, what was in the Kodesh? The Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach HaZov. That's what was in the Kodesh. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Aron, and separating the Aron, the area, the last 10 Amos from the 30 Amos, is a Pareches. It will separate between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh. Now, if it was up to you, you were given the task to write this pasuk, what would you write? V'vdila HaPareches, I wouldn't even write the word Luchem, V'vdila HaPareches, Bein HaKodesh Le Kodesh HaKadoshim. There is an extra word here. Bein HaKodesh Uvein Kodesh HaKodoshim. That word doesn't belong here. What is it doing here? Vivdila HaPareches Bein HaKodesh Le Kodesh HaKodoshim. It separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. What's this poetry? Bein HaKodesh Uvein HaKodesh HaKodoshim. It sounds very poetic, no? Very nice. Bialik. What? What's going on over here? What's the word bain bain? All right, now maybe I don't really have a good answer, but I want to put this aside for a moment. We'll come back to it later. I want to discuss some other things about the Parochas. Because of this pasuk, now, but by the way, what else did they use the Parochas for? The Parochas was used to cover the Aron when they traveled. When they traveled in the desert, that was on top of it. Then they put on top of it the blue, I forgot the artachash, the tcheles. But the first thing they did when they traveled in the desert was they took the parochas and they took the parochas off and the parochas covered the aron. When they traveled, you have to go to the masois. From the masois they took the parochas and the parochas was taken down and it was covered the parochas, the aron. And on top of the aron, then they put, I think they put first techeles, argamon, then techeles, and then artachash. They put, I don't remember the order. They put multiple coverings. The order was different than the other kelim. Okay, but that's not our point. They used it to cover the aron even when they traveled, when they were. They were settled, it was vertical, and when they were traveling, the parochas was horizontal, if you want to say, was covering, wrapped the aron as protection. In other words, this is what it does. It's there to shelter. That's a revelation of what the parochas really is for. The parochas is always there to provide shelter. You know what it reminds me of? What May used to always tell me about the Satmar Rebbetzin. The Satmar Rebbetzin took care of her husband her whole life. And but when the Rebbe went to a tish, so the Satmar Rebbetzin stayed home. Kol Kavuda Bas Melech Panima. The Satmar Rebbetzin took care of the Satmar Rebbe. Rabbi Yoel, she took care of everything that she took care of him 100%. But when the Rebbe goes to public, the Rebbe goes alone. He doesn't go with the Rebbetzin. But Besef Yamov, when the Satmar Rebbe was not well, she sat next to him at the tish. Yeah. Go look at all the pictures. When they made a tish and all the Hasidim came and everyone pushed for the Shirayim, who was sitting next to the Rebbe? The Satmar Rebbetzin. Because he wasn't well, and that's what she does. She took care of him in the good year when he was well. Okay, she was tsanua, but the time came. I'm the one that takes. I got to be here for him now, even in public. It's the same thing with the paroiches. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. There are pictures of it. Mary will provide you the pictures. She's not there. She did not leave. She did not trust the Hasidim. She did not leave his side. She didn't. Or probably also, but she was also there. She was also there. Okay. Yes, they are. I think they are. Right, Mayor, they are. The Rebbetzin is buried next to the roof.
Yeah.
Not like other Hasidim. Next to each other. Okay. So what is that? Okay, I said Marshall. Is the Zel Bazach the Paroiches? The paroiches is always there, no matter what. When the paroiches is traveling, when the Arun is traveling, I'm there. The paroiches, don't fold me up and put me in a box and ship me out somewhere and the Arun goes somewhere else. Someone, the Levim, they carry the Arun and the paroiches is somewhere in a box, somewhere in storage in Avenue J and Avenue M over here and in the storage center. That's not the way it goes. When they traveled, the paroiches sheltered the Arun. When they erected the Mishkan, the paroiches stood right there in order to shelter the Arun. This is a revelation. The fact that the paroiches sheltered the Arun when it traveled reveals the real purpose of the paroiches. The paroiches is not just a partition. We have two separate rooms. We have here the Kodesh HaKodashim, and we have the Kodesh, and we need to have a partition. We have a wall. We have a wall to make a partition. Is it a wall? It's just a wall. That's all it is. It's a wall. Oh, just a wall. So when you take down the Mishkan, and you take down the Kerushim, and you take down the ceiling, and you take down all the curtains, you fold it up, you package it up, you put it in a box, and you ship it out. The Arun is sacred. So the Arun goes on the shoulders of the Levim as they march, as they travel in the desert. The Paroiches is just a wall. It's no different than the ceiling. It's no different than the walls. It's no different than one of the utensils. So when you travel, you go and you put it. The fact is that the Paroiches was not folded up and put in a box. The Paroiches traveled with the Arun. It sheltered the Arun as the Arun traveled. That is a revelation that when they hung up the paroiches in the Kodesh, in the Mishkan, they didn't hang up the paroiches as a din of a mechitza. It's not a mechitza. It's part of the Arun. It's the shelter of the Arun. Here's the Arun, and the Arun is sheltered. Sanua. The same way the Arun sheltered, the paroiches sheltered, and as they traveled, the paroiches shelters your... You learn from this that the paroiches is not... It's not part of the binyan. It's part of the kalim. You would argue the paroiches, it's a wall. It's a machitza. It's like the kerushim. It's like the ohel. It's part of the structure. In the structure, we have kalim. What kind of kalim? We have a shulchan, a mezbech hazav, a mezbech hanechoshes. We have an aroin. They're kalim. The paroiches has nothing to do with the kalim. No. The paroiches is 100% a chelek of the oroin. It's not a chelek of the binyan.
But how did it work? If the paroiches was much larger than we are.
So what? So you wrap it around. You wrap it up. Why can't it be hard?
Yeah. And you had the bottom sticking out. I mean,
so the bottom... The as I say, don't confuse me with the facts. There are a lot of questions that don't, numbers that don't add up. There are a lot of numbers, like there are a lot of numbers that do not add up in many ways. In the Mishkan, with the corners, there's no end to when you analyze the construction of the Mishkan, there are a lot of problems. So there's another problem, that the Peroiches was not large enough to cover the Aron with the Kruvim. I think it was actually large enough.
No, it's much larger.
No, much larger.
Sure, it took up the entire width of the...
So that was 10 Amma. We don't even know how big the Kruvim really even were. The Kruvim, we don't even know how big they were. Parsech and Afayim Lamala. In the art scroll, they make them very small. They make them pretty... I was surprised how small they made them. In the classic Tabernacle book, they make them much larger. In some other books I've seen, they make them pretty... No one knows. It's all... No one even knows. No one knows. Okay, I don't think it's a shakash. Whatever. Maybe they wrapped it up. The Peroiches is there primarily to shelter the Aron. It is not there to be a wall. And it's just a way to shelter. In other words, really, ideally, you would walk into the Mishkan and you would see the Aron right there. Why not? Well, the Aron has to be, they have to close, they have to, when we imagine going into the Mishkan, and I'm sure they have today multimedia, put on goggles, you can see a whole multimedia presentation of going into the Mishkan. So we think, oh, there's a chamber, the Kodesh HaKodesh, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and you're not allowed to, and it's a different room. You can't see, no, not necessarily so. Really, you can see right into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, everything is open. The Peroiches is not a partition, oh, it's a different room. It's an extension of sheltering the Aron. It happens to be, it was positioned along the mark of the Kodesh HaKodashim. Or maybe that's part of what I'm trying to answer with the extra word Bain, which we'll come to later. The Peroiches is a very interesting thing. In history, in Klal Yisrael, I have one of them, I have a bag over here from Rabbi Dvorkis. He has in his latest Sefer, probably already put out 20 volumes, he has a nice, very nice piece on the Peroiches, more halacha. And Derech Agav, he mentions that throughout Jewish history, we discuss this here and there, at different life cycle events, it was the custom to take the Peroiches off the Aron HaKodesh and use it for an event. For example, this is documented, this is a fact. A Chos and Kala get married. Mazel Tov, Zachasna tonight, address, YI of Midwood. Okay, that's where the wedding's going to be. Where's the Chuba going to be? In the Chotzer, outside. They have a nice opening, an open area outside the shul. They're going to have the Chuba. Oh, chuppah, you need four poles. Okay, we got four poles. What's the canopy going to be on top of the four poles? The Peroiches. That's not called cheap. That's what you're supposed to do. There's going to be a wedding, make believe. There's going to be a wedding in the shul. They're going to have the suda downstairs. And the wedding is going to take, the ceremony is going to be outside Tachas, the Koichvei Hashemayim, the stars, is a simin that the Chos and Kala should be numerous, should produce offspring like the stars. And you have four poles. You have to hold the poles. It's a bezoyin. You're supposed to hold the poles. It's a kibbut. It used to be in the olden days, you were mechabed people with the kavod of holding the poles. Today, no one's going to hold the poles. Today, you have a contractor. And you have... Sefer Torah? What's Sefer Torah? No Sefer Torah. No Sefer Torah.
And then you hold
the poles. It's a kibbutz to hold the poles. You don't go, there's an inyan to hold the poles. No one does anymore. And then what's going to be the canopy? The canopy is the Peroiches. You go into the shul and you take off the Peroiches, and the Peroiches is now going to shelter the Chos and Kala when they get married. Why? Why? So it doesn't say b'peh malah, but basically, the Peroiches is a shelter for davar shabbat kedusha. Ish v'isha shalom b'neihem, shechina b'neihem. Everyone knows the ish provides the ish is the yud, and the isha is the hey, yud, kei, Hashem's name. Chos and Kala coming together, you're bringing now the Shekhinah into the world, no less than bringing a Sefer Torah into the world. And just like when you have a Sefer Torah, you have Achnasa Sefer Torah, Achnasa Sefer Torah, you go and you have a canopy, everyone's been to Achnasa Sefer Torah, Baruch Hashem, many times, and you have the four poles on wheels with a band and a moving van and all the kinderlach with their torches and flags, and you have a canopy, a Chos and Kala is no different. They're a living new Sefer Torah, and it is appropriate to take the same mantle, the same mechad. This is not a wall. The Shul Baruch Hashem has good walls. You don't need another wall over here. What, it was a partition over here? This is a shelter for the Sefer Torah. Not a shelter, it's for the, and it's for the Shechin. The Sefer Torah is the Shechina, the Aron HaKodesh. Chos and Kala is a new Sefer Torah. You don't go and hire a florist to go design for you a paroiches. You take the appropriate paroiches that has been infused with Kedusha, and Adarabah, now every time we look at that paroiches, oh, that was when I got married. When I got married, that's what sheltered me under the chuppah with my chos and my kala. On the outside, okay, that's another whole discussion. It's a tashmish, that's another life cycle that was used, and no one does this today, is at a bris milah. They would take off. No. Talk about the paroiches. This is what was done. This is what they used to do.
But the wimble was used.
No, the wimble was another minute. They take off this paroiches, and they cover the chair upon which, no, not Elio, he doesn't get such cover, Elio, on which the sandik sits. And the sandik sits on the paroiches. You bet. They take the chair. When was the last done? I don't know. I have to find you. Here's the chair. You take a regular chair. You take off the paroiches, drape it on the chair. And the sandik sits down on the chair, sits on the paroiches, and they put the baby on his lap. And they do the bris milah. Is there a bigger davar shabbat kedusha than this? The Shekhinah is over here. Elyonavi is here. You go and you take the mantle, the paroiches, davar shabbat kedusha. Another thing that was done in time years ago is on Sukkos, bedavka, they took off the paroiches from the Aron HaKodesh and they brought it into the sukkah. And they hung it on the wall of the sukkah. Because the sukkah is the Beis Hashem. It's the Tzilusa Dim Hemnusa. Tzei Midiras Keva V'Kanes Dibes. You're going into Hashem's home. The Ushpizen. What better? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef. I said the wrong order. Okay, the Machlag is Chassidusha. 40th slip. 40th slip. Chassidusha Litvusha. Okay, Yosef. Moshe, Aaron, David, you bring them in. What are you going to decorate? What, are you going to go put up Krasnov decorations for them? Or you bring in the ultimate decoration. What is the ultimate decoration you can possibly have? The paroiches of the Aron HaKodesh is a davarsh. This is what you bring in. You decorate the sukkah. Three examples, these are things that were done in the time, I don't know how long back it's documented, a bris milah, a chasana, and the communal sukkah. You take the paroiches. The paroiches is an extension of the Torah. Can you, oh, k'shem shenif l'bris, exactly. The baby is sitting in the paroiches. Could you imagine?
Some people use the paroiches now too. You have to be able to get it.
Who used the paroiches?
I know someone.
Today they wouldn't let you know how much it cost the paroiches today?
Yeah.
It's mamish, not nice to say, but it's fraud. What they charge today, it is unreal. Unreal what they charge to make a paroiches today. What it costs. Okay, I'll tell you something derech agav. I'm going to go in your linen. Okay, in this paroiches, there's an enormous amount of, as Rabbi Rakevet would say, rabbinic literature on the paroiches. There's so much, the many times we came to talk about. Rav Moshe, one thing about Rav Moshe Feinstein, he writes, is that, you know, it used to be years ago, they had a paroiches, And there's a halachic shaila, and then there is a more hashkafic traditional shaila, where they have words, a big shul with the poruch would split in the center.
Yeah.
And when it would come together, it would spell words, like Scrabble on Shabbos. So it would say, Pischuli Sharei Tzedek. Oh, it would say, Shivisi Hashem L'Nei, whatever possible. So it would be split right in the middle of a word, or in the middle of a sentence. And the shail is that when you open the paroiches, you're splitting the words. And when you close the paroiches, the words are coming back. It all depends, obviously, on how the paroiches, where it's split. So it's is it a halachic shail? It's like playing Scrabble on Shabbos. Are you... So you get to all different... You need such precision. I mean, between the letters, it's really hard to believe, right? Between the letters, it's hard to believe. But it's not Shabbistic. To have a sentence that's partially written. So obviously it's not in the spirit of Shabbos to do a Maisa Ksiva every time you do Psicha on Shabbos. You have a Pasuk, and the Pasuk only makes sense, or the expression only makes sense when the Paroiches is closed. And then when you open up the Paroiches, you're basically demolishing the words. You're folding the words.
Would that be Ksiva?
It's not. Obviously,
it's
not a melacha deraisa. It's not a melacha derabanan. But the question that is posed to the Gedolim is it Shabbistic? Because in essence, you're doing what appears to be on a mechika and a ksiva.
If it was part of the
Rabbi Isai, it's President's Day. President's Day, in honor of the president, the internet is fluctuating. Going on and off. What?
It might be a bigger problem if it was part of the same word.
Okay, obviously, there's no way in the world you're going to find over here any halachic violation. Is it in the spirit of Hilchos Shabbos to do this on Shabbos? Obviously not.
The spirit of the pasuk. Forget about Shabbos.
You have a pasuk. You have words. When you open up the paroiches, you're splitting the words. All right. You understand the concept. Is it there are words? The words are basically disappearing. That's mechika. When the words are reappearing, that's ksiva. Obviously, it's no worse than playing Scrabble, which is mutter. Obviously, so it's not going to be a halachic violation. But is it the proper thing to do? But it's beautiful. The balabatim want to do it. It looks nice. Is it proper? So many places would say, no, it's not proper. It's not proper. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos. If you have it already, keep it. No one's telling you to go spend another $10,000 to go replace it. Keep it. No one. But should you do a lechatchila? No, you shouldn't do a lechatchila. It's not in the spirit of. It's not in the spirit to go and to have a which opens up, and when you by opening it up, you're splitting words down the middle. Then Rav Moshe writes, you understand the prayer.
I just want to say that's Rav Moshe who's saying.
Yeah. And he goes wider. Rav Moshe is even the bigger chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush. Rav Moshe says, this is not traditional. He says, the paroiches is sacred. The paroiches has always been in the history of the Jewish people one piece. One piece. It's a new thing in America to take the paroiches, split it down the middle. You pull the strings, magic, Star Trek. it opens up. It opens up. Rav Moshe says, this is not traditional. The paroiches is a davar shebekedusha. The paroiches and the Torah where it comes from, is it wrong? No, there were many shul don't even have a paroiches. There is a virtue of preserving the Messiah. The Mesorah is, it's one piece. It's a new thing. Chodosh Osa Minatar. Okay, Rav Moshe was very lenient on a lot of these things to begin with, but he writes, what are you doing this for? The Paroiches is one piece. Why are you coming to make a new Paroiches where it splits in the middle? What are you changing the Mesorah? I'll give you an extreme example of this. I have a friend, he's not even Menachem Sterling knows him very well. His name is Yoshua Rogovsky. He's one of them. He's a tzaddik yisrael olam. And he's very much involved in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. He does a lot of things for them. He helps them in a lot of different ways. And he's a gabbai, one of the gabbayim at certain times of the year. And at one point in time, the yeshiva replaced the pareches. A few times already, they replaced the pareches. They got a new pareches, to get more modern, to get with it. And the old Paroiches, now here they actually have it. I want to demonstrate. It has this. You see this? This is one piece. It's stitched together.
Well, usually it's not stitched.
It's stitched together. Okay, you can't separate this.
Maybe
okay,
Velcro.
It's stitched together. In all of the old shuls,
it was two pieces.
It was a separate piece.
It was what?
It was this.
Two separate pieces. Had a different track.
Two different rollers.
The Paroiches,
yeah.
This remained on top. It did not move. This was on top was a completely separate piece. So when they built the yeshiva, the original Paroiches, it was velvet that went on top. And did not move. No one even thinks about this today. Who even thinks about this today, right? Who even imagines? So when they got the new Paroiches, it was just one piece. Not even this.
It was still on the top.
Just one. No, there was nothing on top.
It was just one piece of water.
Like everyone has in all the shoes. So my friend, he cannot accept this. He's an old time. He's from Canaris, from he's an old time. He says, he claimed there's a Messiah that there is a piece on top. This is what he says. He went berserk over this. He says there's a Messiah that they're supposed to be. I think he even showed me that the Paroiches, there's the Paroiches, the one piece. I don't know, we guess it's not in the plus, right? And there's a piece that goes on top. You can't just make a new Paroiches and make one piece with nothing on it. Oh, the whole world does it. Okay, but here is a yeshiva. In a yeshiva, we preserve tradition more so than other places. Preserve tradition. We preserve tradition. They look at him like you're from another world. You're from Mars.
A tradition where there's no reason for the tradition.
So it's always the toughest question. Where does the Messiah end, and where is it just practicality?
Well, maybe you forgot to stitch it 100 years ago.
You're right. That's always the big question. It's a minik shtus. So he went so far, he sent a letter. He used to send letters to Chaim Knievsky. He used to send letters, and Chaim would, you know, back in the day, and he would get answers. So Chaim would write him back. You know, they had a guy, he would answer every question on one liner. So he asked Chaim Knievsky in the letter, is there a Messiah that the Paroiches should have something on top? And he writes back, Lo Shamanu. Two words. I think it was Lo. I think he showed me the letter. I never heard. I don't know. Basically wrote, I don't remember the exact words, but Rav Chaim wrote back, I do not know.
Yeah. Okay.
I do not know if there is such a tradition. I do not know. Look, Pukhazi Mama Advar, the world today does not do it. Go look at all of the new shuls. They do not do it. They do not have the... It's one piece today. No
it's
one does it.
It's a practical thing, because it's a very big pain if the top moves out of place. If it's
I don't remember. He told me the reason why. He told me.
I remember they used to have a double track. They had a track that didn't move for the upper one.
Two tracks.
And the other one was.
If he told me the reason why.
I
don't remember. It was a very long time ago. He told me the makor of why you're supposed to have something on top. He told me there's a makor for it. Rav Chaim wrote back. Rav Chaim knew everything. Rav Chaim wrote back that he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Never heard. I don't know exactly. He doesn't know. So he was silenced. It makes a difference. I'm sure, but don't worry. By him also doesn't make such a difference. these little small points. Look, there are a lot of it used to be in every shul in that cloud. There were luchais on top. There were lions.
Yeah. Which is against halacha.
Why is it against halacha?
The lions, yes. I'll bring you down. Jewish.
Why the lions against halacha?
I'll show you eventually.
Not so simple. It was done. It was done for thousands.
Lions.
I always tell you the reason why there are lions. The sixth parasha is one of my favorite halacha. I always tell you the reason why there are two lions is because who were the ones who built the Mishkan? Two people, a Bezalel, Ben Bezalel, and Achisamach. Oholiyav ben Achisamach lamate don. The two Bali Malacha, architects, was Yehuda and Oholiyav. Which Shevet was Bezalel from? Lamate Yehuda. Which Shevet did Oholiyav ben Achisamach lamate don? Rashi and Chumash. Why was it selected a person from Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Don should be the two architects in building the Mishkan, because Yehuda was from the most distinguished tribes. Shevet Yehuda, Malchus. Dan was from the least distinguished tribe. Dan was from the Bnei Shvachos, and it was considered to be from the least distinguished tribe. And Hashem Bidavka wanted the two architects to go from the most distinguished to the least, Rashi and Chumash, in order to show that every single member in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in the Mishkan.
That's a good reason. Wait.
That's what it says in the Rashi and Chumash. Bezalel, Yehuda, Aholiyav, Dan, Yehuda to Dan, everyone has a chelik in the Mishkan. No one should think that they are not part of the Mishkan. What is the symbol of Yehuda in the Birchois Yaakov? Gor Aryeh Yehuda. What is the symbol of Don in the Birchois Moshe? Ula Don Omar, Don Gor Aryeh Yizanek Min HaBoshan, a lion. The two lions in the shul, the Oroin, the Aron is the spitz of the shul. There are two lions. One lion is Yehuda. One is Dan. One is Bezalel. One is Aholiyav. Everyone who walks into this shul has an equal chelik in this shul, even if you're not a member.
But that's a good reason. But my city of Shulvis, and Hashi backed me up on the Rosh Yeshiva, took down, when we took over the shul there, he took down the two lions.
I know, because Navodah Zara. At Selem, because a lion is on the Kisya Kovoid. Loisasun E.T. You're not allowed to make E.T. today means extraterrestrial. Loisasun E.T. Elohei Chesed Elohei Zav on the Kisya HaKovoid is the image of a lion. So you're not allowed to have a lion. It's Avodah Zarah. It's Mamash HaPesel. On the Aseres HaDibros, you have a violation of the Aseres HaDibros. You have an image of an Avodah Zarah on the Aseres HaDibros. That's the reason why today in the world today they frown upon putting up lions. However, you cannot deny that lions adorned the Aron HaKodesh by the biggest Gedolei Yisrael for 2,000 years, and no one said boo, and the people that who davened these shuls were giants. Exactly, they took them off now. But not anymore.
That's because the guy from Chofetz Chaim, when the Shver came over, he says, "Where are you up to?" And he showed him the front page. He goes, "What do you mean you're up to the front page?" He says, "I still haven't figured out how the lions got up."
I know they took off the lions from the Gemara also today in all the new editions.
You said make it girl.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. But for some reason today, there's a certain evolution. Going back to Al-Pasik. There's a double bain. There's a lot to be said about this concept. We still talk about, you know, what is the Poreches? The Poreches is, you know, we in Mitzvah Shabbos, Hamavdil bein Kodesh L'chol. There's a one madrega being mavel bin kodesh l'chol. Very good. Then on a yom tif, what do we say when we have yakne bahas hamad bin kodesh l'kodesh? Anayadim kodesh and kodesh. And then we see obviously in the base in the Mishkan there's bin kodesh and the kodesh hakodoshim. Right? You see over here that in the first chamber where the menorah the shulchan is the kodesh, and then there's the kodesh hakodoshim. So I'm going to give you three examples of separation. I gave you a separation between Kodesh L'chol, a separation between Kodesh and Kodesh, Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't say Hamavdil bein Kodesh L'Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Nusach HaTfilah, which was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they only, when they compare Shabbos to Yom Tov, they don't give one more Kedimah than another. They don't call Shabbos Kodesh Kadoshim and Yom Tov Kodesh. They don't do that. The Shabbos has its unique qualities of Kedusha, and Yom Tov has its unique qualities of Kedusha, and don't be a judge to say one is holier than the other. They're different. They're different elements. They're different. One is skila, one is not skila. One, you create the Kedusha, one is Bayitza. Don't be the judge. Chazal said, Bein Kodesh Le Kodesh. So there's been Kodesh L'chol, there's been Kodesh L'Kodesh. Simple pshat. In the pasuk is there's the kodesh hakodoshim, that's what it says, and there's the kodesh, and there's a poroiches that's mavul bein kodesh l'kodesh hakodoshim. So far three, right? Three, kodesh l'chol, kodesh m'kodesh, and bein kodesh l'kodesh hakodoshim. Now, however, it would appear that's not what the pasuk really says. V'vdilo lochem haporoiches bein hakodesh ubein kodesh hal. I told you the pasuk shah, which everyone says between the kodesh. But if you really want, you can. I don't know. I'm suggesting there's a time when a person separates himself. Person separates himself from he's amchol. Well, who says you have to be chol? You're lochem. You separate yourself from kodesh, and there are times when you separate yourself from kodesh kodoshim. In other words, we fool ourselves in thinking that you can never get to kodesh hakodoshim if you're chol. If I'm chol, the only way I can come in contact with kodesh hakodoshim is to first go into kodesh. There's no way I can stand in front of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Impossible. Because the only hechatims of getting to the Kodesh HaKadoshim is I have to go first into the Kodesh. Not so. The Pasuk says the purpose of the Paroiches and the Harayim when they traveled in the desert, there was no Kodesh. The Aron is Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Aron is Mavdil. They cover the Aron. That's what the Pasuk here says. The Aron separates you from Kodesh Kodoshim directly. The purpose of the Paroiches is not to be Mavdil between the Kodesh HaKodoshim and the Kodesh. No. The purpose of the Paroiches is, number one, to be Mavdil between you and Kodesh, which has to be defined, which I want to say is the room itself, is the room, not the... And also, it's to be mavdil you from Kodesh Kodoshim. I could be standing right here, Chol, and right here is Kodesh Kodoshim. No Kodesh in the middle. And the Paroiches is there to be mavdil me from the Kodesh Kodoshim. And then there could be a situation where the Paroiches is mavdil between me and Kodesh. What's the Kodesh? The room is Kodesh. The Haraya... In the Bayis Sheni, in the Bayis, there was no Aron. There was no Aron. So what do they do then? There was a Paroiches. Why was there Paroiches? Who needs the Paroiches? The Paroiches is to be Mavdil between a Mokoim that is Kodesh. The only thing that is Kodesh Kodoshim is the Aron. Is Kodesh Kodoshim. If the Aron is in the room that is Kodesh, Memela, there's a separation between me and the room that is Kodesh. But when they traveled in the desert, there was no room. So all you had, there was no Kodesh. All you had was an object that is Kodesh Kodoshim. And then the Paroiches was Mavdil Lochem and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. We start off by explaining that the purpose of the Paroiches is not a part of the Mishkan. The purpose of the Paroiches is primarily to cover the Aron. Now, at this point, you just stand it up to cover it up. But it also serves as a, it does, so you can't deny that it's creating a shelter to the Mokoim. The Mokoim is a holy Mokoim. And in this holy Mokoim, there is an object that is Kodesh Kodoshim. The Paroiches is Mavdil, Voyo Lochem HaParoiches, Lahavdil, Bein HaKodesh. Even if there is no Aron inside this Mokoim, there'll be a Paroiches to be Mavdil you to the Mokoim that's Kodesh. And the Paroiches also will be Mavdil you to the object that is Kodesh Kodoshim. When they traveled in the desert, this is the word Bein. The repetition of the word Bein and the word Lochem is coming to take each one by itself. And you expand upon this, That reveals a person can come in contact with Kodesh Kodoshim. Sometimes you can be near Kodesh. You have to have the right separation and the right hachanas. A person can go very, very high. A person shouldn't think the only way I can get to Kodesh Kodashim is I go through Kodesh. Not necessarily. You can go straight to the Kodesh. Oh, you have to have a Parochas. Let's not get carried away. The Aron killed a lot of people. People not worthy to come near the Kodesh Hakodesh, the Aron died. It said that Shev Levi was the smallest Shev because many people wanted to carry the Aron. And when they carried the Aron, they died. The Aron took the life of many people. They were not Roy to be near the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if you were Roy to be near the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you went directly. You went directly from Lochem to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what was Mavdil? The only Havdalah was the Pareches.
Maybe it's just a reminder between the Kedusha and the Kedusha Yotel. I cannot put a Chumash under a Sidur. There is Malim Bakodesh. There is Evdilah HaParochet. It's a reminder.
Okay, I am upon him. By the way, today many places say you can put a siddur in the chumash because in the back of the siddur they have the kriyas haTorah. Today many people are lenient, especially the people who collect siddurim, people who have to are very busy collecting siddurim. So in the back of the siddurim is
they all
in the years ago it didn't have this. But say in the back of every siddur is all of the kriyas haTorah for the whole. So a siddur becomes a chumash. So today, if you see a person put a siddur on top of a chumash, the world doesn't come to an end. You don't have to shoot him on the spot. You can wait until you get out of shul to shoot him.
The siddur's on top.